millions of fellow Americans to pay tribute to those who have given their lives so that we might enjoy peace in this our land. Memorial Day always comes as a bit of a shattering blow into the peace and beauty of spring, as it does today. It's a reminder that this beautiful day, in this beautiful place, in this beautiful land, was purchased, humanly speaking, with the price of the blood of fellow Americans for many, many years. War is hellish. War is destructive. War is a scourge upon the face of the earth. And we, with our countrymen, join in deploring it and all acts of violence that are warlike in our lives and in our society. But on this day, it is also worth remembering that the freedoms which we enjoy, the peace, and the relative prosperity of this fair land are all blessings that were achieved and gained through war, through conflict, through the victory over enemies who sought to take these fundamental rights away from us and fellow human beings. In that respect, Memorial Day is also a reminder of Jesus Christ, of the God of our salvation, and of the fact that the very blessings that we enjoy as his sons and heirs of eternal life are blessings that God won for us through victory, through deliverance, through doing battle with the enemy and gaining the conquest over him. As good systematicians, I know that you have all studied the various pictures of the atonement in the New Testament. Perhaps none is more known to us than the so-called picture of vicarious satisfaction. But perhaps on this day when we remind ourselves of victory, of warfare, of dominion, and of the blessings that come from God's conquest, perhaps the so-called Christus Victor theme, the so-called classical picture of the atonement in which God does battle with the enemy and comes out the victor, perhaps that picture on this day is especially meaningful for us. And the lesson from Paul to the Colossians that we read a moment ago is a lesson that reminds us of this fundamental central truth of our faith in precisely those terms. For the apostle, after praying that his disciples in Colossae might bear fruit, might increase in the knowledge of God, might be strengthened, might have endurance and joy, then notes how this is all possible. That God the Father, he says, has not only qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, but he has delivered us, a strong, powerful verb that reminds us that God's gift to us of light, that God's inheritance with the saints in light is a gift that came because he delivered us in strong and almost militaristic terms. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, writes the apostle. And how true that is for the so-called dominion of darkness, the analogies of which we know from our study of history, the history of this fair land. Being in bondage to the dominion of darkness is a picture of what all life is like without the redemption of Christ our Lord, of what your life and mine are like without him, under the dominion and the bondage of darkness itself. But praise God, says the apostle, he has delivered us from this dominion. He has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, so that now by God's grace we live in the freedom of the gospel, the freedom which comes from having the bonds of sin removed. For in his Son, writes the apostle, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. It's particularly fitting for us in the church then on this day that we still live and praise God in the Eastertide of victory, the feast of the Lamb in which he puts down Satan and death itself and does all of this for us and all mankind. Let us then on this day praise God not only for the sacrifice of fellow Americans who have fought to make us free, but let them be a picture for us of Him who did battle with death itself, even Christ our Lord, and in whom we have deliverance, in whom we have been transferred from the dominion of darkness to the basileia, the kingdom of Christ Himself. Amen.